We should, because what happens is most times within religious circles, what they do is they tell you don't question anything. And so what happens is you stop growing, for one, when you stop asking questions. You stop, really self-discovery as well. Because life is an adventure, and so we're always learning stuff. So it's like when you say, okay, well, what about this? And when nobody, it's like, oh, wait, God can't handle that question. I'm just like, he made the whole thing. Actually, there's something, let me show you something here really quick. This is actually, and then you want the answer for the quick community question, right?
Yeah.
Okay. A bigger one is the communion question is, what's the significance of communion? Jesus said, when you eat of this, do this in remembrance of me. Actually, let me find this.
That part.
Yeah.
But did he say to continue doing it?
Yeah.
Regret, and then every time you do it, remember him. Or?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let me find it here. What happened? This is how I cheat. It's actually really good. Okay. Luke chapter 22, verse 19. The whole thing about communion. Verse 19. 19. Says, actually, let's start at verse 15. It says, and he said unto them with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Luke chapter 22, verse 15, actually.
Okay.
I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread, gave thanks, and brake it, and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise also after supper, the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. But behold, and then he goes on. Now, even also before this too, he also washed people's feet. That was also part of the whole thing. See, sometimes they leave that out because that's actually all part of it as well. Well, yeah, but even that was part of the communion thing. The communion remembrance was the washing of feet plus the whole thing. So he's like, all right, now that you've seen me do this, go do likewise. But what communion was and what communion is it's a symbolic representation, a remembrance of what Christ did for us. So the cup and the bread were representations of his body and his blood. His body that was broken for us and his blood that was shed for us. Now, there's some things with like Jewish customs, for example, like one, when he extended the cup to them, and there's a friend of mine who's like, really studies that stuff out and just said basically within Jewish tradition, that's like a marriage proposal as well, kind of along the same lines. So when they extended the cup to them, it was like basically, Jesus as the groom for the bride as well. Even that and him, and there's also, the thing about the bride price, like like an example would be like in when Saul wanted to have David marry one of his daughters, And David was like, you know, who am I and who's my family? And so what he did was he said, well, but this was part of Saul trying to undermine David. But then the bride price was, oh no, just, you know, kill.
Exactly, it's a bride price.
It's kind of like a reverse dowry, something that the man would do for the bride. And the greater the value of the bride, the higher the price, basically. So it was like, and so even with, so like what David had to do was to kill 100 of Saul's enemies to, that's what Saul asked him to do, because, and then he ended up killing 200 of them. And as just kind of like this price for, so it's just part of that tradition. So even there with Jesus, what he did was the price that he was paying was his own life. So the highest, so he like pays the ultimate highest price for the bride that he loves and he cares about. So there's so much happening all at once. And then, come.
Sorry, Pastor. Hi.
Dude, don't call me that, man.
If you want music, my boy, he might pay for you.
Oh, they're gonna play.
One hit, that goes in punishment.
Really? What do they do?
They
play.
A couple of hits for you, if you want.
Oh, wow. Would you like that, man? Do you wanna do your hymn thing?
Because they're practicing every day, so.
Oh, that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
I don't know, Audrey. Would you like some hymns? No, I think we're okay. I think we're good. Hey, cool, man. Hey, we'll catch up about that other stuff soon. Yes, cool, man. Thanks. Ah, Kavi's cool. Okay, free music. Yes. So, but besides that, with his body and his blood, two things.
And there is
when it's done. Yeah.
Exactly. Does that mean the priest has to do it, or does that mean that we can do it ourselves?
Are you one of the priests? See.
Why is it only?
Yes. There you go. Because see, everything that we've been doing in our time together is we've been taking stuff through scripturally, so we say, all right, wait, who are we really if we're God's people? Yes, you are. You are part of, if you go to 1 Peter 2, verse 5 and verse 9, you are part of the priesthood of all believers. So you have, and so what you have is you only have one person that's ahead of you, which is Christ Jesus. He is the high priest that took that spot in the Spirit. And then everybody else is a little priest in connection with him. So there's no hierarchy in the body of Christ. What you have is different responsibilities. Just like inside your own body, you have every part of your body has responsibility inside. And each part of it is different. And so it's like if one part doesn't do what it does, nothing is more or less important. Just try to go without your lungs or your heart. You know, if somebody says, oh, your heart is the most important thing, well, yeah, try it without your lungs. Or try it without your kidneys.
Like, so much of quiet in life?
What?
Like, this whole thing, like, you know, he says to do it in
remembrance
of him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've taken communion by myself, you know, before. I've done it with friends where, you know, underground churches in places, and sometimes just overt things. Where then you've also just been in the regular traditional whatever it is. But anytime what you do is part of it, part of the whole process is in Corinthians when Paul is writing about it too, he says, let a man examine himself. And so it's also a time of reflection for you to say, okay, am I in Christ Jesus? It's a spiritual position. Am I in a place of connection and walking with him? And so it's a time where like you would also stop, and you do this all the time, but it's a time where it's like, okay, where's my connection at with him? You know, am I in this place where, and it's like if he, let him speak to you, let him show you what's going on, and then out of that it's just like, okay, this is going on in my life, and this has to go, or this needs to come in, or God will, but he'll show you something, he'll speak to you during that time. So, but it's a remembrance of, one, his body being broken for you. Because, see, a price had to be paid so that we could be in connection with the Father. So then we couldn't pay it ourselves. So chooses of his free will to pay that price, so not only can we be restored, but that we can also spend eternity, so we can literally be one with God. And there's also his blood that has to be paid, and we also, the whole series on just like setting up of what happened to the blood of humankind and why our blood was all screwed up. Peachy's like, what happened? What happened? No, there's actually a genetic issue, even with yeah. So, but does it start to make sense? Do you see how all these things start to weave together? And it's like, okay, it's not this set of ritual, but it's actually there's so much behind everything that God did deliberately and was for us, so that we could, in the end, it's like walk with Him. But see, the spiritual forces, again, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places, Ephesians 6, powers, principalities, so everything even going on in this country. So all of that, the goal was to destroy God's creation. The goal was to corrupt it and to utterly destroy it. So what God did even with us is He intervened in the affairs of what was happening here, and created a way even so that we, who were called by Him, even decided on by the beginning of the world, before the foundation of the world, that we could be in the midst of everything going against us, that we could be filled with the Spirit of God, empowered by Him, and exist in the middle of this whole thing is rebellion against the entire system of the world that's going the other way. And it's like in the middle of this, it's like here we are, it's like this concrete, and all of a sudden you have this beautiful flower growing in the middle of it. It's like, how is that possible with everything else going on? How is it that that gets, is able to be alive and to thrive in the middle of all of that? Against all odds, we're still here. So they can't, it can't be destroyed, it can't be killed. So, but it's not a ritual as such, because there was even when Paul had to try to correct some of the early churches, he was working to correct this perception, this misperception about the ritual. And so it was like, look, oh yeah, and humankind, because there's something just inside of us, and that was even something that we were going to talk about tonight, we look for ritual, we look for comfort. You know, we look for creature comfort where it's like everything's predictable and everything, because you find also identity in that. So it's like if you know exactly what you're going to get, and your identity becomes wrapped up in the doing. Well, so yeah. So you become identified with the doing and the ritual, and not even what's behind it. So, and it's human nature. And see, that's also part of the nature that God breaks us out of. Because you can start down this path where, that's what happened to the Pharisees. So when Jesus was speaking to them, He was like, look, you diligently study the scriptures because you think by studying them you're going to possess eternal life, but they're talking about Me. So it's like, here's Jesus. Yeah. I mean, this is His word. So it's like, here's Jesus. He comes. This is truth. This is God in flesh. What's up, my man? God in flesh. You're cool. God in flesh. Oh, question and answers. That's what we're doing. Sorry. Yeah. Oh, good idea. So God comes in the flesh into this world. Here's truth. So here's the Word, here's truth, here's God in flesh, comes into the world, sits right in front of them. And they have blinders on where they can't tell who He is. And these are the religious, spiritual leaders of the day. In John 5, we talked about that a couple times back, where it said, where Jesus speaking to them said, you've never heard God's voice, ever. So this is the people that are supposed to be leading. These are the spiritual, entrenched spiritual leadership of the day, had not once in their life heard the voice of God, and yet they're telling people, this is what you need to do and how you need to walk with God. And so what happens is, see, people, because they look for a man, They look for, I will do everything I can to shake anybody from looking to me. All I can do is share what God's done and what He puts in my heart. But it's like, look, it's not a person. Anybody that's walking with Christ will just point you to the source. And it's like, He is the one with the answer. And what you want, people should learn to be able to walk with Him for themselves, especially in the world that you're living in right now. You need to be able to hear His voice for yourself. You need to be able to know what He's saying, know how He speaks to you, know when He says left or right. It's a real thing. See, it's you know, kind of a good analogy was like, you know, you have a lamp, you know, in the corner, but unless it's plugged into the socket, you know, it's one, it doesn't do what it was made to do. There's no power in it. There's no function in it. It's just there. And that's basically what people that are cut off from God, they're unplugged. So rather than you're like, make sense? But rather than telling people, okay, you know, you need to do this or you need to do, no, just get plugged in for yourself and then go with what He shows you. So it's not a, and it's not a, because also too, part of this path that we walk on is peace, right? And you know if it's there or if it's not. So, because I did my rounds with the church, you know, as far as like my time with them. I have, like Paul talks about his pedigree, it's like I've done my fill. But within all of that time with all of those different things, and God has people in there, and God has people that, and there's others that are not God's people that are in the middle of that, in leadership as well. But it's like, are you being set free to walk with Christ, or are you being wrapped up in bondage? Is this another form of mind control, or are you really walking on that track with Him? Do you know Him better today than you did yesterday? Is it more real to you than, and if it's not, then what are you going with? Because Jesus said, I came to set the captives free. Are you free? These are the kind of questions, you know, again, question everything. These are the kind of questions you go home and you ask. And you're like, am I really free? Because see, okay, sin binds. I mean, it binds, it shackles people's lives. So God sets us free from that. Now, sometimes there's consequences because, you know, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23. So all of sin falls short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. So yeah, there's consequences for the stuff that we do. But on the spiritual level, God certainly sets us free from the spiritual consequences of that, so that we can walk out life with Him. But with that setting free, like the world does so much to, as soon as you start to get free, wrap you back up into it. And it's like you escape from one thing and they put you right into something else that does the exact same thing, only same song, second verse. So, and now you go from, okay, God just set me free, and you're so excited about your walk and your relationship with Him, and you're like, oh, cool, oh, you know God, come to Bible study. You know, or come to the meeting, or come to, you know, Sunday Mass, or whatever it is. You call it whatever you want. And then you go for 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden you didn't show up. Oh, where were you? You know? We didn't see you, brother. You know, it's like, what do you mean you didn't see me? If you're walking with Christ, you could be anywhere that day. You know, I didn't see you where I was. Big deal. It's like, you know, I mean,
I didn't see you.
Yeah, I'm like, I didn't see you either. How's it been? Nice to see you again. But because what happens, again, now the way the world works too, is people want to gather in. So it's because part of why we did that series on the world is I wanted you to start seeing how it manifests, the same spirit manifests itself in different ways in each one of those spots. So towards the end of it, you just start to see the pattern. You're like, oh, okay, now I get it. So in politics, in religion, in economic systems, in entertainment. And so you just start going down this list and you're like, oh, okay, now I start to see how it keeps coming back over and over again, the same thing. Likewise, so the what happens even within religious circles, it's the same thing as the world in that you see this wrapping up of, so people can't be a superstar in the world because they can't sing that great. So what they do is, okay, now I'll be a singer on the stage in the church every Sunday. And it's not pointing people to God. It's like, okay, now I'm, because I'm up here on this platform. You can tell in your spirit. See, that's again too, in your own spirit, you can tell when something is of God and when something's not. When you're one of God's kids, when you're one of His children, there's this resonance in your spirit, in your heart. If somebody speaks and they're in connection with God, inside your own spirit, it's just like, huh. You know, it's like, yeah, it resonates with what God is speaking inside your own heart at the same time. And if it's not from Him, it's just like, it's something's not right. Now, there was a time when I couldn't articulate maybe what was right or not right. I just knew something was off. But as I continued walking with Him, and he had a knowledge into my walk, now it's like, okay, not just something not right, but the scriptures come back, or God will speak or quicken. I'm like, something not right, and this is it. For example, I had somebody sent me from the States the other day. They had this write-up that they wanted me to go through from some pastor in the States. And usually I don't like to read that kind of stuff. It's a friend, and so I was like, cool. And as soon as I read the first paragraph, these are just words on a page, but there's a spirit behind everything. As soon as I read the first paragraph, I was like, okay, I sense the spirit even behind it, and I was like, and this is not God. So I'm doing my commentary on it while I'm reading it. And then as I kept going through it, it was like, you know, each place, there's just scriptures were coming back to me of the rightly divided word of God compared to the way this guy was trying to lay it out. See, somebody will, you have to approach the scriptures in a way where it's like, you want absolute truth. Whatever God shows you is truth. It's like, cool, I'll go with that. But you're open for however He would show it to you. Versus if you come to the scriptures and say, okay, I have something I want to do, so let me find a rational basis for it to justify my preconceived action. You see the difference. So like, so that's where this guy was coming from. But as I was going through this, it was like, even then, the Spirit of God was starting to quicken me. It's like, all right, this guy's trying to hide something. And then, so I was just even writing this, and I was like, yeah, and it probably has to do with sexual sin. I mean, just like, that was just what was coming to me. And then all of a sudden, I get to this next part in this section where it just says, accusations against our senior pastor. And I was just like, this is what we're getting to. And then it's just like, okay, you know. And then towards the end of it, like, look, just, you know, my advice for my friend is just let the dead bury the dead and just move on. See, you know, when Jesus came into this world, He didn't try to set up a religion. He didn't. He didn't tell these guys to leave the synagogue. He said there a time will come when they'll kick you out, and they'll come and kill you, and they'll persecute you, and they'll do all this stuff to you because they think they're doing God a service, and that's because they don't know Me. But he didn't set up a religion. What He did was came and gave people a connection through Him to the Father, where they themselves could walk out this life with Him. So it isn't about a religion. It's about a connection and a personal relationship. So that's why for me, I'm like, hey, I don't care what you call yourself. You know, you call yourself whatever you want. Do you know Him? Because if you know Him, hey, we're family. Mi familia. It's like, if you know him, then in your own spirit, it's like you have a witness of just like, wow. You know, you can, have you ever met somebody and just like in 2 minutes it's like, I have known this person for, I mean, it's just like, it feels like you've known this person for forever, and you have, actually. Yeah, you're like looking at her. You're like, God.
But, that's true though.
But it's because, even on a spiritual level too, there is no time in eternity. So we're existing right now in time, but with our existence here, take time out of it and take the bodies that you're living in out of it. You're an eternal spirit that's in this dimension that needs the body that you're living in to exist here. Because it's like, you can't go to the moon without a moon suit. You know, you need a suit to be there. It's like that, the body you're in right here is your earth suit. So, but take time out of the equation and take the body you're in out of the equation. It's like you, you know, where are you? Well, you're not in this dimension, you're in the dimension of spirit. And that one, in that place, those that are in Christ, you've known them throughout. Kind of, yeah. So it's like, so more than anything, it's like, so when you start looking at our life here in this world, you know, because sometimes I'm like, oh gosh, what is going on, you know? But then I'm like, wait a second, no, God put us here right now for a reason. He put us here right now for something. I know, what are you laughing at, right? It's just relating to all this stuff that you're, what? What's up?
Sorry.
Put the phone away.
What? Yeah. What's up?
You're distracting.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
But does it make? Yeah.
Are you,
hey, but you said this long before as well, right?
Yeah.
I remember you saying that there were people that you have never met before in your life, but that you have even connected in a different country.
So three people came together.
Yeah. 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 Oh, yeah. That was one of my friends was saying that one. To there was one friend of mine who I met up with them in the States in Kansas City when I was there. She had God had spoken to her and said there was going to be this what she called a shift in divine time, and I'd done all the background behind all of that, but basically he just said, you know, I want you to go to Israel. And so she was just like, okay, I'll go. Because she's somebody that walks with God. And she went to Israel and he told her this place to go. And when she got there, it was like this, it was like a tavern or a restaurant or something like that. But it was some place where there were people that just, there's open tables. And when she got there, it was like, she was like impressed to go over to this one place. And at this place, there's three other women that were sitting down, and they just knew each other, and then they started talking. It was like, and each one of them, God had given the exact same instruction. They were from all different parts of the world too. So she's from the States, and then there's like, and so each one of them, God had told them the same thing and told them, and so it's just like, it's like, even with all of that too, when you walk in connection with God, He'll speak to, now think about your body, the same thing as well. So like, say you get a cut on your hand or on your arm. What happens inside of your body when you get a cut? Yeah. So defense system goes on. You're starting to bleed here. So now the blood is coagulating, and there's more things are being, more nutrients are being sent to that area to try to repair what happened. And a lot of stuff goes into action, because what happens? The head that knows what happened here, it starts sending messages to the different parts of the body to do a specific function. See, it's amazing. God gave you a walking, living example that you take with you everywhere of how He works. You live in it. So even with the body that you live in, so when, you know, you get a cut, it's like all of these parts of your body even start working together to address that. So likewise too, the key for followers of Christ is just that, to be in connection with Him, because then it's like, alright, you are the immune system. You know, go for it. And see, if you, this is also where it's like God individually empowers different gifts within the body. So it's like you have to leave room for how God would individually express himself through somebody else's life. So for example, you know, if you said to the cold, the immune system, you know, oh, quit, you know, quit attacking that cold virus, you know, stop it, leave it alone. You know, I mean, you wouldn't, because it's doing what it's supposed to do in the body. And if it did not do that function, that would get in, infect the rest of you, you'd get pneumonia, destroy your lungs, all of that kind of stuff. So it is doing its function in the body. So that's part of it is recognizing, look, this is what God has equipped and designed certain parts of his body to do. And you have to leave room for that as well. So like for me sometimes too, it's just like part of it is a process of God revealing to you who you are and how he's made you and what his call, plan, and purpose is for your life, so that you can walk that out also in confidence, knowing, okay, this is me, this is how he's made me, and this is Andrew, this is how he's made Andrew, and we're two different people empowered by the Spirit of God walking this track out. There'll be times where God puts us together for a specific assignment, and then other times where it's just like, you know, you go your different ways because he's sending you somewhere else. So it's cool. You just say, all right, Lord, your way, not mine, and I'm along for the ride. But you really have to go with his plan. So, boy, we really took a bridge over from communion. We're still in... Yeah. But this is kind of the tangent that it goes on more than that. But it's really about connection, you know, and cultivating that connection continuously. But it's not about religion. And so what happens with religion, it's tricky, you know, because again, and scriptures talk about it. It has a form of godliness, but it denies the power thereof. So, you know, it's like, so it's just, you have to watch out for it, because otherwise it corrupts and it can seep in. And it's just, so nowadays especially, it's like, okay, is this, part of it is a self-assessment. And that's where only you can do that before God for yourself, where you would come before him in honesty and just say, Lord, if I'm missing it, you know, just put me on track. You know, if I'm off, I open up my heart and my life and everything for you to just connect up with me and let it be real. And show me. If there's something that's off, I'm happy to go your way. But just, you have to do that for me. Because it's like, if he doesn't do this for us, we're screwed. I mean, it's like there's no help for us. I mean, if he doesn't make it real to us, if he doesn't show us the right way to go, if he doesn't do that, you know, yeah, you're done. But when he does do that, it's like you have to go with what he shows you. So cool. That's
completely open yourself up with God.
It's hard because there's this. It's a process. I mean, I remember what happened with me was there's this terrifying point of this like actual true death to yourself, where you die a death in every possible way except you stop breathing. And it's like you die to your dreams, you die to your hope for your future, you die to everything that is that you hope for in this world in exchange for what it is that God, I mean, it's like, it's just like, all right, Lord, cool, your thing, it's you. And I remember when that happened with me. I was in India. It was in 2001, you know, I mean, it was just this, it's like, there was this this like jungle that these guys would go to pray in. And I remember, because, and so you'd mark your tree. You had like a tree, and every day you'd go in there and just like, you just mark it to, you know, like. And I remember it was the 13th day that I had gone in there. It was just like, I was wrestling with this. Because I was in and of myself struggling with that. Where I was like, okay, yeah, I know God is drawing me. He's pulling me. His spirit is pulling me towards this. But also, I have this struggle in and of myself. Do I really trust Him? Do I really trust His plan? Do I really believe that He, that His way is the right way? You know? Do I really believe that? I mean, it's one thing to say, yeah, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end leads to death. It's another thing to say, yeah, God really loves us. But did I really? I was struggling with, do I really believe this? You know, I mean, because I love God, but there's like this point of limitation where it's like, do I really want to cross and take that last step over the cliff and hope they don't catch me? You know, I mean, it was like that, and it was just this. But I knew enough to know that what I'd come from, I don't want to go back there. You know, I mean, it's like, and there's nothing there for me. There really is nothing there. I mean, if you look at the world and what's in the world and the people that are in the world, see, there's enough people I know in the world that by the world's standards are successes. I mean, and some of these people, I mean, if you talk about wealth, and so, see, they've come past that place as far as wealth goes where they have more than they could ever spend in their life if they just went gangbusters. They still, and yet it's empty. You know, for them, because, and so most people, they're trying to amass that because they think if I can just get to that point, that then I'll be secure and I'll can do my vacation things and, you know, then I can make some contribution, whatever. But like, they've gotten to that point, and every one of them that I knew that didn't know Christ was just empty. We just were empty people, shells of people. And they're, and so they were, that's why too, it's like they would look for fulfillment in something else, because that's not it. They knew that much. So it's like, alright, so I had seen enough of that to know, okay, that there's no answer there. You know, actually, the book of Ecclesiastes is a great book. If you want to just figure out, here's Solomon, the richest and wisest man that ever lived, and he goes through everything. I mean, he's like, all right, you want to drink, let's drink. I mean, you want to do the drugs, let's do the drugs. You want to have sexual orgies and go crazy, let's full on, you know. And it's like, I mean, these are not like, I mean, he went all out. And in the middle of all that too, he said, and by the way, I took wisdom with me. So in the whole time going through all of that stuff, he's processing. And he's taking every single experience to the absolute end of, so he's just like taking it all the way out to the end. And then at the end of it, do you want to read what his conclusion was? Have you read Ecclesiastes? Oh, gosh, I've got to take you through some of these older books. It's a really cool book because what he does, Ecclesiastes, ultimately, it's 12 chapters. You can actually sit down and just read it sometimes. It's, but he goes through everything. He's like, you know, building projects and, you know, works to himself and everything you could possibly imagine that people do, and he had the money to do it. So just like, all right, I will completely finance every one of these things and let's see what is worth anything in this life. And the last two verses of the entire thing, it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So his whole thing is like, after he's come through all of it, he's like, look, the end of this whole thing, it's just God. And he sees it all, he knows it all. And but see, even at that point too, it's like, he didn't have the chance for the connection that we do this day in Christ. So he tried everything under the sun. That's a key part of it too. It's like all those under the sun, he tried it. And so it's like, so if you go the way of the world, you can max out all these things, but it's like usually you get just enough cash to kill yourself. You get just enough to thoroughly do yourself in, you know. And I mean, like the average rock star dies at 33 years old. I mean, it's you go through the list of these. I mean, it's like the people that the world puts on this pedestal, you don't see what happens to them. You don't see how they were done in by the time they were finished up. The world chews people up and spits them out and takes the soul. But so with my own process, part of it for me was like, all right, do I really believe him? I mean, we say we believe him, but do I really, truly believe him? And that was the point where I was like, yes. Because he, by his spirit, it's a spiritual work he does in you as well, where he draws you into that, he tugs you into that. And in that process, it's like, at that place, it was like, yes, I do. And then, from that point, it was like, wait a second. Once you come through that with him, the realization is, you know, everything I was holding on to was everything that bound me. It was, and the things that I lost, they were just garbage. They were nothing. They really were nothing in comparison to what I found in him. So now the world does a counterfeit. The world initiates people into their system. And you sell your soul to the world in exchange for provision, and there's an initiation that they put their people through as well. But God, loose people into bondage, God binds you into freedom, and you find freedom on the other side in him. But as soon as people come into it, it's like the world, oh, it goes into overdrive to try to get you back. And so, I mean, even for me, the offers that came, particularly after that point, it's like they just keep going up, because it's like, you know, hey, come back, you know, where are you going? I'm like, not there, not with you. But I know all of a sudden it's like what I've got. It's that pearl of great price. It's that where you find something that has such incredible value more than anything else. It's like you will give anything and everything for that, because you find out that's where it's at. That really is the treasure that has value. So, but it's a personal thing. I can't do it for a member of my family that I might love. I can't. All I can do is share with somebody else the good news, which is like, wait, it is real. It really is real. So for me, it's like, and see, part of that, then that process and that walking out of life is all right. Then he's like, what you get in that is a fulfilled life. So he leads, he directs, he guides, and all of a sudden you find out, wait, my life is this incredibly rich adventure where there's so many twists and turns, but in the middle of it, he's right there. Versus, the world that has to try to do something to entertain you on the way, you know, to your soul being absorbed into their system. So, but it is a death that you die to yourself. And yeah, it is scary. It's scary in the part that it's like you have to face yourself in the middle of all of that. You have to come to grips with, again, who you are in the presence of a holy God. And it's like, and you see yourself for who, and you're just like, ugh, yikes. You know, I mean, it's just like, and that too, and even that is just like, you know, because I mean, scriptures say no flesh will glory in the presence of God, and it's like, and so yeah, but then you come into His presence and like it kills you. So, but it's a good thing. Because on the other side of it too, for myself, I'm just like, I know now what I have, and I'm like, what was it? I even forget, you know, what was it that was back there? You know, I sometimes take for granted what He's brought me through and brought me to. And you have different struggles. You continue to have different struggles while you keep going. But there, you know, it's like there is that. But if you can cross through with Him into that place where He's drawing you, it's like He'll keep taking you from there. Wow, so we've been doing a long Q&A. We kind of okay. But this is between every series though we do one complete open forum. Any other ones?
Those are my questions.
Yeah. You always ask. No, but here's something else too. There is also, and I'll there's one that you can look up on your own, which is where Jesus speaking to about the mountain, and just basically it's like, you know, if you say unto this mountain, you know, if you have, and the way that one works is basically it's like you're an obstacle to your faith. If there's anything that you're struggling with, if there's any question, concern, if there's any question, concern that you have, if you have it and you bring it before the Father, He will find a way to get the answer to you. So it starts with that being brought to Him. So you're like, God, I'm struggling with this, or what do you say about this? Or so it can be something with work, it can be something with relationships, it can be something with just a question that you have about scripture, you know, or something like that. You're like, all right, God, here, I see that you wiped out Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, you just obliterated this place, you know, and I have, you know, I'm struggling with how can a loving God, the one that everybody tells me about, how could He destroy this entire, just burn it to the ground and everybody that's inside of it? And then what happens, so you put that question before Him. This is part of your personal, individual walk with Him. You're like, God, how does that happen? And then what happens is that God, you keep that before Him, and then He will find the way to get the answer to you. And He'll speak to you in the Word, He'll speak to you in prayer, He'll speak to you through other people that are walking with Him. How often does that happen for all of you? Yeah? Yeah. So it's good to bring those things to Him. And so even then it's just like, alright, Lord, is this one of your servants? You have a question about somebody. Is this somebody that really knows you or not? Oh gosh, how many times God's exposed people that call themselves spiritual leaders that they're not His. It's like, okay, you know, that's the game that we're playing now. So, because ultimately, too, for me, it's like, if I'm walking this life out with somebody else, I want to walk with somebody that's in agreement spiritually with the same track. How can two walk together? At least they'd be agreed, Amos 3:3. So it's like, that's what we're looking for. So I'm not going off on some tangent with somebody else because there's a way that I'm going.
One of my major concerns right now is that I find it very difficult to continuously. I've brought this up before as well. It's such a fact that I can't have a sustained relationship during the course of the day.
Yeah.
Like in the morning, I start off so fresh. I always do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Start off very fresh in the morning, but during the course of the day, somewhere down the line, it breaks. Why is that?
A couple things just from kind of what
like,
I've seen
it's
from
like
my...
when, like, for example, yeah. like you start off in the morning with the devotion.
Yeah.
And you go to work with a lot of energy and all that. Then somewhere in between, you actually go to sleep and like, I lost it. Not lost it, in the sense that I lost...
But you feel drained and depleted.
No, in the sense... Yeah.
You're
not that
distracted by other things because of your work and stuff.
No, agreed. No, what I'm saying is like, it's not that I'm unhappy or whatever, but
no.
I just feel that that time, like God is not in my life at that point. It's like, you know, sometimes you need to get involved in
Do you feel drained? Do you feel like you're just not in connection, that you're not hearing from Him? What?
No, I just feel that I need to, that I don't get involved as much as I should. What I do, my decision making, and my
Because when you pray, you say, you know, take over, you know, even the things that you say, you know, let it be from you, and you know, you say all those things. But sometime during the day, you know, you're not exactly consulting Him, you know.
You just go on doing your own thing.
You kind of pick up the phone and ask your friend, you know, what do you think I should do?
Yeah.
And but instead of,
you know, you should first of all stop and thank Him for the little things you get during the day.
That's
up.
Good. Well, it's
something would happen to thank Him.
But it's just that decision making, you know.
When you have things and you know,
even the little decisions, you know, I would want Him to make and tell me what to do.
He does.
Well, there's okay. Do you remember we talked about the difference between the act of prayer and the state of prayer? Do you remember that? Okay. The act of prayer, because the Bible tells us to pray continually, right? But you're not gonna, nobody, including Jesus, didn't stay on their knees 24/7. The act of prayer is a time where you will go and, like the scriptures even talk about, you just get away with God. You know, it's just like your time of connection and intimacy. It's you put yourself in a place, even physically, to help the spiritual, like just so it's like it's just this time where it's like, all right, God, you and me, cool, let's get together. That is the act of prayer. I mean, and the Lord's Prayer is just even like a template that you can use, but it's not like this rote thing you have to say, but it's just like each one of those is just like something that you even pray through. That's prayer. But the state of prayer is what you do.
Give me a second.
Sure. Answering your question. Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Wrong question.
I know. The state of the state of prayer. I'll repeat it for a second. The state of prayer is what you do throughout from that point on. So you can maintain a state of prayer throughout your entire day. Where, and so the difference is, for example, say, another bomb. Okay, a bomb's going off. All right.
Nothing new. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. So, active prayer, state of prayer. Active prayer is what you do when you go and you get away with the Father. State of prayer is what you can do throughout your entire day from that point on. Where, like for example, say a marriage, right? This was the example I was given when this was taught to me. You can have a disagreement with a spouse and still remain in a state of prayer. Because, you know, you're two people, you have different opinions, all of that. But the second that you switch into a fight and you get into your flesh, you've stepped out of, you remember when we talked about praying in Jesus' name, what the difference of that was when you're in that. I have to do some recap lessons. Okay. You step out of a state of connection and now into your flesh, where you're no longer in a place where you're hearing from God. You're just hearing, you're hearing now from, you know, me, and I'm offended and all. So you, so then it's like, alright, you're out of this place spiritually where you're in connection and tuned in. So now it's just like, okay, I'm now into my thing. If that happens, just act of prayer, get back into a place where you can connect and stay So, but you can maintain a state of prayer, but it's like it's a discipline you develop, where it's like you make this decision. All right, Lord, I want to. Pretty good. I want to. I want to maintain my connection. So your connection becomes the top priority. It's like, Lord, I just, above all, I want to maintain my connection with you so that at any time I hear what you're saying to me about whatever. Because I love it with when it comes to work, when I have that. Because when I have that connection, when it comes to work, and I go into a meeting or something like that, and I'm in a state of prayer, or even, you know, deliberately, when I, especially when I do stuff with people that are following Christ, I'm like, before we even start a meeting, I'm like, look, let's pray. You know, so we seek God even in that. And then it's like you're just in this place where it's like, you know, everything that comes up, He gives you something for those situations, where it's like, oh, okay, isn't that so nice when His direction's coming, where it's no longer me trying to fix a situation, but I'm actually getting an instruction from Him. So you can maintain that, but it's also a deliberate decision, and you know it in your spirit, where it's like, ah, you know, I'm just out of it. And so when you feel that, wherever you are, you don't have to wait till the next morning to reset. You know, even just go off into the lunchroom, you know, and just, you know, you're in the bathroom washing your hands. You're just like, God.
Yeah. Yeah. The reason I'm saying that is because, like, at times when I do have my rest very good, I realize even if things are not going too well, it doesn't bother me. But you know, sometimes when you fall away and you're giving everything to work or whatever, and you get disappointed, it really gets to you.
Yeah.
So that is where I feel that, you know, things are missing out. It's something I need to, like you said, that I need to put a bit more effort into.
Yeah. Well, some things too are process. You know, and you know, I had a friend one time in the States, and he wanted to quit smoking because it was just not for him. It was something that God had put on his heart that he just wanted to get rid of. So I was like, cool, if that's something that God's spoken to you about, you know, go for it. And his thing one time, he stood up, he's like, brothers, this is like a guy's Bible study. He's like, brothers, he's like, you know what? He said, if I smoked 12 cigarettes today, and he's like, tomorrow I only smoke 11. He's like, praise God, I'm making progress. And we're just like, yeah. And so it's like, you know, it's like, just,
I shouldn't be by that.
Well, no, and it's just like, you know what? Just some things, God's done that in my life and just taken that. And like one day you wake up and like, oh, it's not there anymore. Other things, it's like, you know what? Maybe it's just a process, and maybe some stuff, it's like, maybe, you know, you'll just have to struggle with that before Him for a while, but bring it all to Him, whatever it is. You know, you just have to. You take it all to Him. So even something like this, you're like, that's where you go before Him, and you're just like, God, how do I do this? You know, how do I keep a connection with You through the day? And you're like, the scriptures say, pray continually. All right, I want to do that. How do I do it? And ask Him to show you.
I think it's also the fact that you're surrounded by people all the time. It makes it a bit difficult because your work kind of revolves around a lot of people. Because when you're working, and if you're a little isolated, you know, then you can obviously talk to God.
Now, there's another thing going on though too, and this is another aspect of this whole thing. Again, the wheat and the tares grow together, right? The children of God are in the same field with the children of the devil. You're surrounded by them. You know, and here, hey, cool, we got a little bit of time away from all this. But when you go into the world, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. But you're still here. And so, the people that you're around, they, in and of themselves, have no life in them. John 15 talks about how if a branch is broken off from the vine, it withers and it dies. So they're literally broken off from the source of life, and so they're withering and they're dying. So they have no life in them, but who has life in them? Guess who else? You do. You have life in you because you're in connection with God. So because they can't access life for themselves because they're apart from Him, where do they have to get their little Phillips? You know, who's their mobile gas station? It's you. And the way that they get it is they have to tap you. Somehow they have to get a spiritual fix off of you. you know, there's a lot of things that are alluded to that even like in Hollywood and media, that's like this, okay, like the whole vampire analogy. Vampire movies is because my buddy that broadcasts out of New Mexico, he was like, he explained this one time to me. It was just like, because most people in Hollywood have sold out to the world, and even in and of themselves, they're still trying to somehow show what's going on, because it's just like it's still there. The vampire movie and the vampire analogy. Now, in real life, there are people that drink blood and do all kinds of crazy human sacrifice stuff. That's going on there. But there's also this spiritual analogy to it, where in the world, they have crossed over to the other side in the world. So like they have no reflection because they've crossed or passed through the mirror, they've come to the other side, so they no longer exist, but they're now actually part of the world and the world system. And so for them to survive, what do? They have to feed off the living. They can't be in the light. If they're in the light, then they die. There's just so many parallels to what's actually going on a spiritual level that's brought on in these. So like for me now, I'm like, I watch a vampire movie, I'm like, oh wow, yeah, okay, yeah. I get, you know, because it's like now it makes complete sense. That's what's going on in the world. So, but see, even what's happened in the world right now too, there's many, many, many more vampires than there are those that for them to feed off of. So the number of vampires is huge, and the lambs, the children of God, those that with life in them, they're less and less. Plus, the ones that have life in them, by and large, they have an incredible entourage in the spirit that's around them and protecting them. So see, I don't travel in and of myself anywhere. I have an entire spiritual protection with me as well. So it's like for me, if I'm in step with the Father, I can go anywhere in this world and walk through a bomb blast. I can walk through whatever it is. And nothing, I'll always be in the right place, and God will always protect me if I'm in connection with Him. Now when my time's up, cool, ready to go. You know, do not cry for me, Argentina. You know, it's like, don't, you don't have to, because I'm good.
Because you're done with
the time. Yeah, I'm done with my assignment and my time here. But while I'm here, the importance is just to walk in connection with Him. But see, now we've kind of shifted into an interesting time even in the world where there's less and less for them to feed on. See, even part of what happened with Sodom and Gomorrah, since I brought that up earlier, do you notice even with the example, it's like God removed His people, you know, out of the way before He just destroyed the whole thing. And see, if we don't exist here, what reason is there for God to even allow the rest of it to keep going? If it's just a field full of weeds, you know, He'll torch the whole thing. In fact, He's going to do that eventually with this world. So for the people in the world, the very fact that you exist in their reality gives them, buys them a little bit more time and one more lap around the track in what they're doing, because as soon as you're out,
I wonder whether the yeah. kind of work that you do, because you're on consultation and stuff like that, is it easy for you to walk with God? And sometimes if people are wrapped up in more like work, which really takes you time.
Yeah. Well, and see, even with work, you know, that's something too, like...
Because it's easy for me because, like, you know, because I'm working for myself as well, so it's easier. But I know if I was there, it would be just...
Yeah. Well,
there is a difference.
Yeah.
As in, you know, when I worked for Audi or for Capital Radio,
yeah.
which was a completely different, you know, what you call atmosphere. And here, when I work for World Concern,
you're doing,
you know,
yeah.
the Christian fellowship, yeah. that you know, being in that.
Completely agree, and that's why too. Even with work, you submit that before God, and you're like, Lord, whatever it is that You would have me to do. Because see, when it comes to work, you know that your provision comes from God. Matthew 6 talks about, like, look, seek first the kingdom, and your needs, God will take care of them.
Yeah.
So the work that you do let it be the work that He instructs and puts in your life to do. So see, even for me, what I did with work was like, I was like, Lord, alright, I'll do anything. I mean, I do not mind, you know, cleaning up, mopping floors, building fences. I've done that stuff, and then I've also done stuff on high levels with all kinds. I mean, it's like, it doesn't matter. The key for me is that whatever I do, that it's the work that He has me to do in connection with Him. So I really, that's secondary. But, and so I allow room for Him to instruct and allow, and to set up the work that I would do. And what's interesting even for me with that is some stuff that I never thought I would work on, I never thought I would do, He's, now it's like He says, no, I want you to do that. I'm like, wait a second, it's stuff that like I would have completely gotten away from or not even ever thought of. I mean, for example, advertising. I completely left all the stuff with the family business and all of that kind of thing too. And then now it's like, I mean, it's just, it's, but it's not in this way, even there too, it's like, all right, there's this kind of thing opening up there where it's like, and it seems like He's opening it up. So it's not me saying, okay, I will now get into, no, I'm like, okay, something's happening there. But even there, it's like, it's His hand doing something. So I'm just like, all right, Lord, what's the way that You would have this to be so that my involvement with it is not in and of my thinking, but how You want me to be involved with that. So every time with work, allow Him to, you just put it before Him. And you're like, Lord, if this is the job You want me to do, cool. If it's not the job You want me to do, then You create whatever it is. But whatever it is, I'm going with You. You have to.
That's the place that, you know, sometimes I find hard, you know.
Yeah.
It's like you have one desire and then, you know, kind of you pray about it kind of thing. And you're like convincing God to give it to you instead of you saying, you know, just, you know.
Do your own kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's,
I mean,
and
even with this job, it was like, you know, praying. And once I got it, you know, I was thinking back and I was asking, did I ask really, you know, in my heart, you know, what He wants me to do?
Yeah.
You know, or did I just say, okay, this is what I want, you know, please give, you know,
yeah.
And then get it.
Yeah. Well, and see, that too is, I think that was also part of even my own process of just like, all right, just trusting the decision He would make for me. Here, this is Bible studies. Let's do one that I always go back to. We'll skip.
There's nothing wrong with praying.
But it's really is that. So it's like, all right, Lord, this is what I'm thinking, but you know, what do You say about this?
Anyways, if it wasn't in His will, you would have bought it.
Well, here's Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. That's paths, plural. Because you have multiple tracks going on in your life at any given time. So it's like, this scripture I've gone back to many, many times over my life, where it's like, okay, for example, even when I came to Sri Lanka, work-wise, when I first got here, I got here just after the tsunami. I mean, I was already en route. Had I left a day earlier, or I would have been on the beach. Had I been left 2 days later, I wouldn't have probably been able to even come. So it just happened that even God's timing with all of that, for where I was, had I graduated a semester earlier, I would have been working in the States, and I would have, you know, it's just like so many different things, and even where I was at the time. I get to Sri Lanka, and then we're involved in all the stuff with business friends and all that, just helping people right afterwards. But then, during that time, it's like, alright, there's a couple things. One, I had a job in the States waiting for me, but I knew that God was like speaking to me about being here. And so then there was some corporate stuff that was offered to me and things, but even there I was just like, it's just not, there was no peace on any of that. So I was just praying about it. The first thing that happened with me was like, it was just this, okay, I need to at least commit to be here for a year, you know, and even if nothing else, it's like, I'll pay myself, you know, but I'll be here for this time. And then after that too, it was like, but it was where there was that point of commitment to what I knew God was already showing me to do, which was to just to be here and to be involved with what was happening. Praying about it and just saying, all right, Lord, you know, what else is going on here? You know, and asking for Him to make that clear. That was when, about a month later, all this stuff started, fell into place as far as the contract thing and the contract work that I started doing. And several different things happened all at the same time. And there was a lot of people that were asking me to work for them and to work with them. But even during that too, God was speaking to me as like, all right, don't work with this person. Don't work with these people. Because He was, His no's are always a good thing too.
Yeah, they'll be taking it badly.
Yeah, yeah. His no's are wonderful because they keep you out of stuff that things, doors that He doesn't want you to go through. And so I've learned to thank God so much for His no's in my life because, oh, they're so good. Because I look back now and I'm like,
so you know, after a while later that you look back at,
look, just go back 2 years after, if you know that you've been walking with Christ for that period of time, and look back and the things that He said no, I thank Him for every single one of those. I'm like, thank God I didn't do that, because it would have taken me down a path that is not the one. And it's not, there's no fulfillment there. Like right now for me, there's incredible fulfillment in my heart because I know I'm in step with Him. And I know sometimes I do stupid things here and there, and even when I do, but yeah, Dodger's like, no, yeah. Even what I do, for me, it's just this, all right, He quickens me in my spirit that like, all right, that was stupid. I'm like, yeah, you're so right, that was stupid. And I just kind of realign and keep going on the track with Him. So just remember this one. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Because again, there's a way I think, there's a way that I feel would work, but that's not the one you want. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy path. So if you put it before Him, again, what's the Lord's prayer? The disciples' prayer when He taught them to pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So you acknowledge Him in every decision. And you're like, God, whatever, I'm cool. You show me and I'll go with it. So it's like, you know, here's a job offer. And it's in Geneva, Switzerland, and they will pay, you know, 250,000 euros. What do you say about it? And because now you've just brought Him into the equation deliberately. You've deliberately asked Him, Lord, you say. Because the devil will gladly make you all kinds of offers as well. If you are trying to walk with the Father, He will happily, you know, give you €250,000 a year to put you in some, to isolate you off in some place where now all of a sudden you're completely ineffective for God because you're out of position with Him. He's happy to pay you that. But if you're walking with Christ, He'll say, no. You know, that's not for you. Or maybe it is, but if it is, He will give you that witness in that direction, and then you can go forward with that in confidence because you know that when you go with Him, you're walking into something where He's going ahead of you as well. Does that make sense? So it's just this process of, all right, it's all about Him. I deliberately make a decision to make sure that He's part of every one of those decisions. All right, so we are going to skip the lesson for tonight because we took the time up fully with Q&A. But we'll start next week with... But before, one more thing, the two questions though. Is there... We've kind of... A while back I asked, you know, what were some areas that you guys also wanted, what were some areas where you wanted to cover some things, and some was on spiritual gifts, we went through some things there, some was on prayer as well, so we've covered some areas as well that there was some specific requests for. Is there anything else, like right now, that kind of you're like, ah, I wish... Nobody will tell me this if I keep asking them.
is there anything that you can like prepare listeners to help us while basically the mind, what I'm asking for, is something that where basically where our lives, how do we find out exactly where we're supposed to go? It's like basically how do we get inspired to find our path where we're supposed to go, kind of thing.
Yeah. Cool. Just going to talk about that tonight, actually. But, no, there's...
Please tell him because he's lost.
Well, okay.
Yeah, hold my hand and do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, along those lines, you know, here I'll give you some scriptures maybe that you can check into between now and the next time. But I don't know if they'll make sense unless Mark 6. Bless you.
Yeah,
seriously. Well, okay, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 was the one we talked about tonight. That's always good for if you're just praying, you know, just bring it. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. And Proverbs 3, verse 5 and verse 6. Mark, and what we were going to talk about a little bit tonight was Mark chapter 6, verse 1 through 13. And then we were going to talk through a little bit in Exodus chapter 4 and Ephesians chapter 6, specifically about verse 20 in chapter 4 of Exodus and verse 15 in Ephesians. And then also in Acts chapter 21 verse 10 and chapter 22 verse 18.
Can you go any faster?
Yeah. Acts 21 verse 10, Acts 22 verse 18, and Acts 19 verse 26. Now, I don't know if when you just kind of read through these a little bit on your own, but I can kind of weave the whole thing together for you. But do you want to summarize this in 5 minutes? And then maybe if we need to, we can go into it next week. Separate? Yay or nay? Or you guys want to stop?
We'll start it like fresh, yeah.
You want to start it fresh? Okay. So,
but... Again,
Exodus. Sorry.
Just going to email all that to us tomorrow, don't I?
Really?
Yeah. But, because part of this whole thing was walking with the last series that we did was walking with Christ. So you might want to
go through those.
Yeah. So just start on that one, and then because we'll kind of bridge into it. But then I'll try to cover some of this for next week and build on this as well. Because yeah, how to find the path and where you're supposed to go. Christ is the path, and there'll be times where maybe things, he says also too, his word is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. So with a lamp, have you ever, if you've done the camping thing, you know, do you see everything that's in the forest? You only see a few steps in front of you, and but you know you're on the path because. So you will only see many times just a little bit ahead of you, but that's all you need. So just trust the way that God speaks to you, and He'll show you enough of what you need for the day so that you can walk it out with Him. Okay.